Well, it is great to be here with you this morning. My name is John Lavender. Even though we're here online, it is a wonderful privilege to be here. I work with evangelism in new churches in the Sydney Diocese, ENC, and my role is to visit churches and to help them think through how they can better connect with Jesus. So it's a wonderful privilege here to be thinking about that this morning, how Jesus changes everything and will challenge us, how Jesus challenges us to better connect with the people around us. Before we look at what God has to say to us this morning, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise to speak to us through your word in the Bible. And in these few moments now, we pray that you would please give us open ears to hear what you're saying and soft hearts that are willing to respond. And we ask it for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Well, every now and then we see things in the life of the church that are so wonderful, that are so encouraging. I think of some of the people from the church that I used to be at. There was the older couple that kept Tuesday and Thursday mornings free so they could come to the playgroup and talk with the non-Christian parents who came along. There were the mums who kept Tuesdays free so they could teach scripture, so they could teach SRE at the local primary school. There was the school teacher dad who, after a big week at school, he turned up to help lead Friday night youth group so he could chat with the students to help them get to know Jesus better. There was the builder who each Saturday morning he would organise a group of his mates and they would go for a bike ride and they'd stop for a coffee along the way so they could chat and talk about Jesus. There was the group of men and women who kept the first Saturday of each month free so we could go up to the local shopping centre and hand out balloons and chat, but how we could hand out Bibles and how we could invite people to come along to our church and perhaps if we could even interest them in doing a course like Christianity Explored or Christianity Explained. There was the family who regularly invited their neighbours over for a barbecue so they could, so they could get to know them, but so they could have conversations about Jesus and so they could invite them along to the many of the things that were happening at our church. There are just so many examples. Why do people do these things? Well, it was because they knew Jesus. Jesus had changed their lives. He'd changed their priorities. He'd changed their thinking about what was important. All these people changed by Jesus. They knew there is nothing more important than Jesus. Nothing more urgent than people hearing about Jesus. For these people, Jesus has changed everything. But is that you? Is that you? Jesus changes everything, but has Jesus changed you? In the part of the Bible that we're going to be looking at this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 and following, we see how the Apostle Paul gives three reasons why if we have been changed by Jesus, we should want everyone else to know Jesus. So firstly, if you've got a Bible there on your phone or in front of you open, in verse 14, we read that Christ's love compels us. Knowing Christ's love, it drives, it pushes, it motivates us to speak about Jesus. Well, secondly, in verse 20, knowing that we are all Christ's ambassadors, we'll want to do everything we can, anything we can, to live and to speak in such a way that everything about us will help everyone else to know about Jesus. And thirdly, in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, knowing that the days are urgent, gripped by this urgency, we'll want everyone to know the grace of God that is found in Jesus. So there you go, three reasons why knowing Jesus means each one of us should want to speak about Jesus. Christ's love compels us. We're all Christ's ambassadors, and the days are urgent. So let's briefly think about each one. Firstly, Christ's love compels us. In chapter 5, verse 14, we read that Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. A few years ago, a ship, the Green Lily, was caught in a ferocious storm off the coast of England. Suffering from engine failure, the ship was drifting towards the rocky coastline. A Coast Guard lifeboat was sent to rescue the crew, but in the violent storm with 10-metre waves pounding the ship, they couldn't get alongside the stranded ship. The Green Lily soon ran aground. A helicopter was brought in to rescue the crew. With the storm raging, a helicopter winchman, Bill Deacon, volunteered to be lowered to the ship. He would attach a winch to the crew, who in their terrifying circumstances, one by one, would be raised to safety. Braving huge waves and gale force winds, Bill Deacon made sure that the crew was saved, that the crew was rescued. But sadly, with the last man in the helicopter, a huge wave washed Bill Deacon into the ocean before the winch could again be lowered. The next day, Bill Deacon's body was found and he was posthumously awarded the George Cross Medal for bravery. Imagine you're one of the ship's crew. You're safe in the helicopter. Looking down, you see a huge wave wash Bill Deacon into the raging ocean after he has saved your life. Having experienced such a rescue, you could never be the same. You'd live with constant gratitude, thankfulness for the man who saved your life, especially since he'd lost his life in the process. How much more is this true as we consider Jesus' death on the cross in our place? When we see Jesus on the cross, we see Jesus in my place. We see Jesus in your place. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, it was no accident of history. It was because of his love for us. Despite the fact none of us has loved God as we should, despite the fact that in some way each one of us has rebelled against God, ignoring him, not listening to him, Jesus loves us. And Jesus has proved this love by dying on the cross, taking our punishment for us turning away from God. This is amazing. Verse 14 tells us that this is Paul's firm conviction. See that word, convinced. Can you see what God is saying to us here through the Apostle Paul? Paul is fully persuaded, convinced, that Christ's love took him to the cross. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus makes available this love, this forgiveness for any person who would turn to him in repentance and faith. See how this love of Jesus changes everything. Verse 15, because of the love of Jesus, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Because of Jesus' love, our thinking, our values, our priorities, our motivations, they're all 100% turned around. There's a new governing factor in our lives. The love of Jesus resets our desires. It resets our ambitions. The way we see everything, life, all people, it has completely changed. Why? Because now we live for him who loves us. Now we live in thankfulness to him. We live to honour him. We live to share this his saving love with others. For Paul, this love, this amazing love, it drives, it pushes, it motivates him to speak to the world around him, to speak of this saving love. And when you got up this morning and after you had your breakfast and you cleaned your teeth, when you held that toothpaste tube, when you cleaned your teeth, I hope you did, and you squeeze it to make the toothpaste come out, there's only one way it can go. Likewise, now the love of Jesus has changed everything. There is only one way Paul can go. Like the toothpaste, Paul is compelled, pushed, motivated by the love of Christ to live and to think like this. Like the toothpaste tube, can I urge you, let the love of Christ push you forward, spur you on, motivate you to share this good news with others. Paul, the Apostle Paul, valued this more than anything. Jesus, who loved him and who laid down his life for him. How good it would be for you in the next few days or the next few weeks to consider again, or perhaps even for the first time, Christ's love for you. Think about it. Consider it so that you too can be convinced of what this love does, convinced of how the love of Jesus changes everything, convinced of the urgent need for our world to hear about Jesus. Well, how can we respond and show this love? We can prayerfully look for opportunities to point people to Jesus, to speak with them about the love of Jesus so they too can experience his goodness, so they too can experience his kindness, his forgiveness. Even in these COVID times, but especially in these COVID times, will you prayerfully look for opportunities to speak, to connect with your neighbour, your family, your friends, your work colleagues, so they too can turn to Jesus, the only hope for our world? Take the plunge. Take the initiative. Look to speak of the difference that Jesus makes to you. You can talk on the phone. You can go online and talk through Messenger. Send Bible verses that mean a lot to you. Encourage people to tune in and watch church online. And when the restrictions ease, offer to read the Bible with them and invite them to come to church with you. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for opportunities to speak about Jesus. But I need to ask, have you yourself turned to Jesus? Have you responded to his love? Do you know his love? Have you put your trust and hope in Jesus? Have you asked him for the forgiveness that he brings? If not, today is a great day to take that step. Turn to Jesus so you can experience his love, so you can have the joy of knowing him, the hope of being with him on that last day for all eternity. Well, that was number one. What about number two? Our second point this morning, we are Christ's ambassadors. In chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, this is what Paul says. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We know, don't we, that our world is massively out of step with God. Greed, an appalling lack of compassion, so much self-interest, despair, hopelessness, sadness, grief, hypocrisy, double standards. Our world has lost its bearings. Our world laughs at God, mocking him. Yet our world is full of fear. People hide it in the pursuit for pleasure and for comfort. But here's the thing, people do not know peace, not realizing that true peace is found in God alone. And without Jesus, this is true of you and me. Not treating God as we should, not listening to him as we should, not trusting him as we should. And sadly, we often even do the very things that God hates. Yet because of God's extraordinary love and kindness, Paul in verse 21, talking about Jesus, says how on the cross God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Right here, God is saying something to us that is so massive, so extraordinary, so life-changing. Can you see how Jesus changes everything? Once you and I, we were enemies of God. But now in Jesus, we are friends. There is reconciliation. Once all we knew was guilt and fear and shame. Now there is peace. Now there is hope. I've sat with grown men and women with tears running down their faces, overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with the relief and wonder of this good news. Do you know this good news? Do you know this great news for yourself? Look again at verse 19. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you are reconciled to God, if you are a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. Ambassadors have the privilege, the wonderful privilege of representing their country, of representing their king. It's an incredible privilege, but it comes with significant responsibility. Here, God is saying that each one of us, you and I, we are Christ's ambassadors. We have been appointed as God's ambassadors, calling all people to make peace with God, stop the rebellion, and accept Christ's offer of peace and new life. Make peace with God. Stop the rebellion. Accept Christ's offer of peace and new life. God is making his appeal to the world for reconciliation with him through you and me. And if you haven't made peace with God and stopped the rebellion against him today, as we said now, it is a great day. It is a great time to accept Christ's offer of peace and new life. Be reconciled with God. And if you have done that, if you are a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. Now, I realise that some of these things are on hold at the moment, but when you walk out the front door, when you get in the car, go to your gym or to your club, walk into the shops or to your workplace, your classroom, as you chat with neighbours, as you run onto the sports field, whatever you say, whatever decisions you make, the decisions about your future, where you will live, how you will spend your retirement, how you will set up your home, how you will use your time, you are Christ's ambassador. You represent Jesus. You have the answers our world so desperately needs. Think about the people that God has brought into your life. At the moment, it's a bit tricky seeing some of them face to face, but you can call them on the phone, you can send them a text, you can put a note in their letterbox. Neighbours, work colleagues, parents of your kids' friends, people in your club or your group, will you prayerfully look for opportunities to share the love and good news of Jesus with these people? And I want to encourage you, if you're praying, be ready to see how God will answer these prayers. Well, thirdly, the days are urgent, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is what Paul says. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Several years ago, Bruce Willis was in a film called Sixth Sense. I wonder if some of you may have seen it. Bruce Willis was cast as a psychologist, and I know if you've seen Bruce Willis in his Die Hard movies, it's a bit hard to imagine Bruce Willis as a psychologist. But in this movie, he met a boy who could see dead people. And it's a very powerful movie because it reminds me that as I see people in my street, when I go to the shops or when I hang out with friends, when I go for a walk or go to the beach or have a coffee at the local cafe, unless these people have put their trust in Jesus, they are just like dead people. People destined for an eternity without Jesus. This is heartbreaking. This should create within us a real sense of urgency. A sense of urgency because they are people who desperately need Jesus to give them real life, to give them eternal life. Back in verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10, Paul reminds us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're someone who has put your trust and hope in Jesus, seeking his forgiveness, the forgiveness he brings, appearing before Jesus on that last day, that is something we look forward to. Finally, to be at home with our Lord, what a joy that will be. But for anyone who has rejected Jesus, for anyone who's not put their trust and hope in him, that last day appointment, oh, it will be a terrible thing. And that is why in chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. That is, as best we can, we prayerfully and lovingly try to persuade others to turn back to Jesus. We want to urge them, stop rejecting Jesus. We urge them to respond to his love of offer and of forgiveness and reconciliation. Talking to other people about Jesus, it's not just the hobby of some, for the extrovert, for the specialist, or for the minister. Knowing we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, this sense of urgency, knowing Christ has loved us, knowing we are all Christ's ambassadors, this is a responsibility for everyone who is a Christian. It's not an optional extra. All of us are called to share the good news of Jesus. Let's go back to that wrecked ship, the Green Lily. If you are a Christian, you were once a crew member on that ship. Now, having been rescued, you can never be the same. How much more is it true from what God has been saying to us in his word today that Jesus changes everything? Jesus loves you. Jesus has died for you. Your sin has been paid for. You are reconciled to God through Jesus. You are Christ's ambassador, God's co-worker, all because of his amazing grace Jesus has rescued you. You can never be the same. But consider this. Our world is on that ship. Our world is on that ship. People living in Terry Hills, Duffy's Forest, Macars Creek, Bayview, Ingleside, Narrabeen, Mona Vale. People we know, they are on that ship. Our family, our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the people in our club, in our team. They are all in great danger of perishing. The ship is about to break up. Their lives are about to be lost. Yet remember, we know the winchman. We know the one who can save them. We know the amazing love of Jesus who gave his life to rescue us. We know that Jesus rising to new life, his resurrection guarantees new life. It guarantees a fresh start with God. Therefore, as we finish today, can I remind you, three reasons to speak about God. Christ's love compels us. We're all Christ's ambassadors, and the days are urgent. Oh, lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his amazing love. We thank you that in Jesus our sin is taken away and we have peace, reconciliation with you, that we have forgiveness. We thank you that we have been made new. And we thank you for the privilege of being your ambassadors, of being able to speak of this amazing love, hope, peace and reconciliation. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as your ambassadors, you'd please help us to honour you in all we do. Please give us that sense of urgency. And we pray for this church in Terry Hills. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to be well equipped, ready to hold out your word of life, and ready to speak to a world so desperately needing it. And we ask it for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen.